I'm going to make a couple of statements. If you agree with the statement, say yes. I overate at Thanksgiving. All right. The Dallas Cowboys are a great football team. Oh. I didn't say I believe it. A well-cooked steak is a great entree. Yes, amen. Texas weather is perfect. No? All right. Now, this one, I do expect this time that we're all going to agree. Our God in heaven is perfect. Yes. But do you understand what that means when you say God's perfect? Unless you actually step back and think about it, it's just a phrase that comes off our lips. I want us the next couple of weeks to look at the Christmas story. And from the Christmas story, see if we can learn some truths about God. Today we're going to talk about some of the perfections of God and how and why you should trust Him in the midst of the storms in your life. Amen. When you're uncertain what tomorrow holds, and even where your children and grandchildren are concerned, that you can trust Him. And we're going to again examine the Christmas story. All of us know the Christmas story. You can sit down with a child and tell them about the babe born in Bethlehem. You could all tell the Christmas story. But it's when you examine the Christmas story and really look at some depth into it that you start to see the hand of God at work. So with that, what we're going to do is turn to one of Paul's epistles. It's the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 5. Now, this is Paul encouraging the churches in the area today we know as Asia Minor. This is Paul encouraging these churches. Paul says, when the set time was fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. Again, when the set time, when the time that God had set was there, was completed, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. Now, before you misunderstand, you'll find in most of the Jewish teachings, adoption is referred to as sonship, because in the Jewish system of that time, a girl could not be heir. So the sonship is saying one that could receive the inheritance. So I want to just try to help you see four simple perfections of God. The first one is this: God has a perfect plan. He always has a perfect plan. God doesn't work without a plan. There's order in everything God does, from creation through the birth of Christ to when Christ returns. There's order. God always has a plan. I'm always planning something. If you've known me any time, you'll find I frequently have a notebook in my hand filled with graph paper. And I'm drawing something I want to build or sketch, or always doing it. And oftentimes I will go to Home Depot, and I will step in, and some of the guys, they'll say, "Preacher, what you building now?" I've always got a plan with everything I'm doing. There's a plan and a purpose in everything. A sports team doesn't take the field without the coach has a plan. He knows where it's going. Our military doesn't move without there's a purpose and a plan. If you've ever watched a child sit down with their toys and play, you may not understand it, but I'll guarantee you they have a plan and they're setting them accordingly. God always has a plan. And this is his plan. If you look back at the verse, it says very simply, to redeem those under the law that they might receive the adoption of sons. God's purpose through Christ is to restore us. As a matter of fact, the Bible from Genesis through Revelation is about one thing, restoration. We see the fall of mankind in the garden. We see the prophecies concerning a coming king that would have to die for the sins of the people, and us one day being united with God again in fellowship. That is the purpose of everything. That is why we gather together here. It's not so that I can find out how to just live a more holy life or what I'm doing that's not right. We gather to become closer to the Father, closer to God, to establish that relationship with Him. His plan was in place before Adam and Eve were created. The Bible says it was in place before the foundations of the world. And His plan was to deal with our sin. You do understand that's the problem, don't you? The problem is that we have a rebellious nature. We see it in our children when they start our little precious granddaughter, Lily. The other day I told her to do something. You know what she told me? No. Can you believe that? Even bound in the heart of a child is a defiant spirit. All of us know that, don't we? As a teenager, oftentimes that defiant spirit becomes more vocal even. But even as adults, we've just learned to subdue it sometimes. God came because we've got this rebellious spirit that separates us from Him. He came that that might be dealt with and we might be restored into fellowship with God. This is a plan. Let me show you a scripture verse, Genesis 3:15. This is the first promise of the coming Messiah. Following Adam and Eve's sin, the Lord addresses the serpent Satan. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Catch this. He will crush your head, and you will strike at his heel. The seed of woman. One day there's going to be flesh and blood on this earth. You will be striking at his heel, trying to take him down. But you will not be successful, but he will crush your head. The first promise of a coming Messiah, one that is going to come. The plan was in place before Adam and Eve were even created. A young couple gets married. And at some point in time, they say, let's have children. And then at some point in time, they're going to have to say, how are we going to raise our children? How are we going to teach them right from wrong? How are we going to deal with them when they mess up? before God created us, he knew what we would do. He knew. And the decision was made. When they mess up and when they sin, we've got to provide a way to restore their relationship. We've got to have a way to deal with that sin. And I'm not certain if the idea came from the Father or from the Son. But in the end, Jesus said, I will be the sacrifice for their sin. It was his plan. It was his purpose. And everything, again, to redeem us. To restore that relationship with God. Number two, God has perfect timing. So wonderful here in the Christmas story. Timing is everything. In sports, if you swing the bat too early, not going to hit the ball. If you swing it late, not going to hit the ball. In football, when the quarterback throws the ball and the receiver is running down the field, he has to have perfect timing to go up to make the catch. In music, you might see an orchestra playing and you're enjoying the music. The orchestra leader up front is keeping time because every section has to come in exactly when they're needed. You don't want the cymbals clanging out of time. It messes everything up. Have you ever known those people that can't tell a joke because they can't time the punchline? Everything is timing. From Adam and Eve, they're told there is one that is coming. Through the patriarchs, there is one coming. Through the time of Moses, when is one coming? But when are they coming? Through the Old Testament prophets, there is one coming. During the kingdoms, there is one coming. When they were scattered abroad in Babylon, there is one coming. But when? When the time is right. And not until the time was right. The scriptures remind us when the set time was fully come. Everything was where God wanted it. When the set time was fully come, God did something amazing. Now, I want to show you a second scripture. This is in second chapter of Luke, first verse. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed a census that it should be taken throughout the entire Roman Empire. Basically so that they could tax. And you know the story. Caesar Augustus decreed, which means he gave an edict, which meant you obeyed, that every person had to go back to their hometown where their family was from to be recorded in the census. And you remember the story, Joseph had to go back to the town of what? Remember? Bethlehem. Everything God is setting in place. But why now? Let me give you some thoughts as to why this timing is perfect. For the first time in human history, most all of the civilized world speaks either Latin or Greek. One language could be preached. One language could be spoken. And everyone here. because of the power and the threat of Rome. It was safe traveling on roads. No one dared risk the anger of the Romans. They were unmerciful. And you'll find with the Apostle Paul, as Paul traveled so often, it was the fact that he was traveling in the Roman Empire that he could travel from town to town, mostly at peace and with safety. And there was something missing. I read a couple of historians that said at this time in history, there was a sense of uneasiness throughout the entire Roman Empire. That there were no strong religions. People were seeking something and looking for something different. That God brought it to just the right time. And when the time was just right, when God saw that everything was right, he sent his son. Born of a woman, he was flesh and blood. There was some teaching of the time that he was not flesh and blood, that he was just a spirit that took on the form of a man. But no, Paul says he was born of a woman. Flesh and blood, just like us. And born under the law. Just as we are under the law, or were under the law, that we must live a life blameless before God without sin. This is where Jesus came into the world. His timing is perfect. I know that some of you today have some things going on in your life. And you have prayed, and you've wondered why God doesn't do something. Because the time isn't right. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we actually interfere with God's timing by our trying to step in and help a person or be there for a person when God's trying to do something in their life. Some of the greatest things that happen in our life is when we're crying out to God and we're seeking help and God's trying to bring us along. You can trust Him with everything in your life. I was talking to I can't share if that's too personal for someone, but whatever it is that you are waiting on, whatever it is you wonder, why not now? The time isn't right. The prophets prophesied the coming of the king, but they never saw the coming of the king because the time wasn't right. But when the time is right, God will always act and intervene in your life. I was happy today to see Benny in the service. He's not been here because he's been working on Sundays. And most of you know, he helped me out here, Benny. You got married how long ago? April of 18, okay? So start counting. He got married in April of 18. His wife is in India, okay? They've filled out all the paper trying to get her over. I was asking him, he said, maybe another 5 or 6 months. It's hard to sit and wait sometimes, isn't it? But yet, in God's timing, we learn that God works all things to our good and to the perfection of His restoring our relationship with Him. Everything. We have a perfect God. Number three, God provides a perfect substitute. Our text today tells us God sent His Son. Born of a woman, flesh, under the law, with the same temptations we face. Now this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. There you go. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. For those of you who may have trouble with this whole idea of why did Jesus come and why did we need a Savior, God has a problem with sin. Because God is holy, God cannot even be around sin. But all of us, the Bible says, are sinful. We're sinful in thought, we're sinful in deed, we are corrupt. We are a fallen people. I doubt if there's a person here, if they came out with some kind of new science where your thoughts could be projected or printed out, would want our thoughts projected or printed out. Because the Bible says that we have a corrupt heart. But when Jesus came along to fill a need. You see, God said because of our sins, because of our rebellion against God, we were alienated from God, we were separated from God, we were not in fellowship with God anymore until our sins were dealt with. But the only one that could deal with our sins was a perfect sacrifice. And when Jesus comes on the scene, He comes on to be our substitute for God. He comes on to stand in our place before God. In the Old Testament, before Israel, who's been in bondage for 400 years, before they get to leave, God sends Moses, brings all the plagues forward. And then finally, God tells Moses, one plague yet left. He said, tell all of Israel that they are to take a lamb, the best one they've got in their flock. He's got to be a perfect lamb. He cannot have any flaws, any blemishes. He's got to be perfect. And you are to sacrifice Him. Because this night, the angel of death is going to sweep over Egypt. And those who have sacrificed a perfect lamb and have taken the blood of that lamb and put it on the outside of the doors of their homes, the angel of death will pass over. Israel, when they celebrate the Passover, this is what they celebrate. This lamb is called God's Passover lamb, the lamb that is slain so that the people might be spared. God's constantly giving us pictures throughout the Bible of what He's going to do. So here in the Old Testament, with the Israelites still in Egypt, God institutes the Passover with a Passover lamb. Jesus is to be that lamb. I love when Jesus is baptized, as the gospel records it. Jesus comes down to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when Jesus is coming, John the Baptist says this, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember, we've just talked about a lamb. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is born in a manger to die upon a cross as our perfect substitute. He lived without sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Number four, God offers a perfect relationship. Look what he says. "To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." To be redeemed means that someone is going to pay something to get you out. What Paul is telling us is that Jesus came to rescue us, to redeem us, to buy us back. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sonship. That God is not just a distant figure that we talk to on occasion or pray to when we're in trouble, but that we can actually have a relationship with this God as Christ himself had. That it can be intimate and that we can be close to God. You see, church, it's not about coming together and singing a few songs, having someone stand up and read the Bible and preach and taking up an offering. We may do those things, but that's not what it's about. It's about God reaching out to us to restore our relationship with him, bringing us back into the fold. You see, God's ways are always perfect. Ours are not. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, I can get right with God if I do this, or I can get right with God if I do that. No, the only way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ, amen, who died in our place, died for our redemption, died that we might have a relationship with God, that we might, like him, cry, "Abba, Father, Daddy." Your heavenly Father loves you. He longs to be involved in your life. And that was made possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on a cross. At the end of the service today, we will celebrate communion. And you remember what communion is about, don't you? It is Passover, when all of Israel celebrates that Passover lamb that was sacrificed in Egypt. They would gather together and share a meal together to celebrate that Passover lamb that had been sacrificed in Egypt. Jesus gathered with his disciples that evening to celebrate Passover and to reveal to them that he was the Passover lamb that would that night be sacrificed for their sins. all the unfolding plan of God from the beginning until the time that we come before Christ and say, Lord, I need you. I need your forgiveness in my life. I need your restoration in my life. Jesus said to us here in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He is saying when you come to Christ, the deal that is established is firm. God's love is unwavering. When we come to Him with arms outstretched, He receives us. And He will never reject us because of His love for us. So I would have you do this for me this morning. Ask yourself this simple question. Have I received that Christ in my life? Have I received that adoption of being a child of God? Let's pray. Father God, Father, in the midst of my struggles and battles, in the midst of my rebellion, Lord, I know how much I need you. Lord, I know how much I need you. Father, forgive me for being rebellious and demanding. Forgive me for always wanting things done my way. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Jesus, forgive my sins and restore me to that relationship that I might be an heir. Adopt me into your family. Because, Heavenly Father, I know that you are perfect and I need some perfection in my life. So, Father, I trust you this day and trust your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen.